Welcome to CWH. Today we continue our series on the great I Am statements of Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at Jesus' words, I am the door. Today in John chapter 10, we turn our attention to another declaration, I am the good shepherd. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're just so thankful to so many of you that write in and tell us that you're watching us and worshiping with us. And then some of you, you can't get out. There's just no way you can get around anymore. We become your church. And so we worship together. And here we are. We're the worlds apart, the whole world. And we're all at the feet of Jesus while we worship. Right now, we're coming to his feet and we're worshiping him, the wonderful Savior. Today, we're going to continue our study on the great I Ams of Jesus. And we're going to look at I Am the Good Shepherd. But first, let me share just a few of the letters. We get so many nice letters. Here's one from Tucson, Arizona. And this is a man who writes, as a Pentecostal preacher's kid from long ago, I've heard a great many good teachings from days past, but sadly no longer here. Keep preaching and praying for another 100 years. Love you, brother in Christ. Well, I love him too. And another 100 years. Well, if I do preach for another 100 years, it's going to be up in heaven. But I don't know what the Lord's got for me. The way I preach, he's probably got something else for me to do. But anyway, I'll be there. And whatever comes, that'll be fine. Here's Warland, Wyoming. Thank you for your life of faithfulness, dedication to our almighty Lord. God is using the Christian Worship Hour to win souls to him, away from Satan, even as the world becomes darker and more evil. May God bless you and keep you looking up. The new song devotional is a blessing to us in Warland and at Warland Healthcare. And so here's talking about the new song, and that's a little Bible study we put out every month. And in this month, it's about 8 ways that you can beat discouraged and downhearted, and you don't know which way to turn. And they all come from the Bible, promises from the Bible. And I'll give you the address at the close of the service. So get your pencil and paper ready, and then you can write in for that, and we'll be glad to send it free and postpaid. Really ought to charge for it. It's such a nice one. But anyway, we're just such good-hearted people that we'll send it free for everyone who wants it. Here's Niagara Falls, New York. I'm writing to ask for prayer, and if you have a devotional, please send it to me. I'm going to the hospital for bone surgery, and then this is what she says. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Isn't that beautiful? I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, and that's what we're doing on the Christian Worship Hour. Oh, my goodness, we're doing everything we can to help people who will make that prayer and ask Jesus to come into their heart and become their Savior, and write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're going to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Oh, my gracious, it's going to be glorious, and don't miss it. And so get your pencil and paper, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Here is Omaha, Nebraska, and this lady writes, as a young child on my grandparents' farm near Sioux Falls, we would watch Pastor Salem when we couldn't make it to a service. I grew up, joined the military, and have been all over. During a snowstorm a few months ago, I found this voice, this familiar voice, and 35 years disappeared, and I was back in Grandma's kitchen. What a blessing to hear the word spoken to share with my children. I love my local church family, but this connection over the years and miles is such a blessing, too. And then a little prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for this servant. His obedience to you and the freedom of TV stations, we have been sharing it. And so isn't this a beautiful letter? We've been on now for over 40 years. We had one boy wrote in. He's 9 years old when he started listening. And he's now been with about 35 years, and walking with the Lord. Now he's a grown man. So we just love to hear from all of you. And if you have a question you'd like us to address, we'll try to take care of that. And you just write to us, and we'll give you the address. Get pencil and paper ready. But we got to get onto this sermon. I'm just dying to preach this sermon. It is just so wonderful because it's about the Good Shepherd. And we've been going through the great I Ams of Jesus now. And here in this passage in John chapter 10, we have two of the I Ams together. And they're kind of tied together. And there's a relationship between the two. The two are, I am the door, and I am the Good Shepherd. And remember what we've been teaching now, when he said, I am, when Jesus said, I am, he's saying, I am God, because that's God's name, I am. They ask him, you remember, what shall I give you for their name? And Moses asked God that when he's supposed to go to Egypt and challenge the Egyptians. And who shall I say sent me? And God says, my name is I am that I am. And when Jesus said, I am, he's saying, I'm God. I'm a second person of the Holy Trinity. And so he says, I am the Good Shepherd. And Jesus says, Jesus has just healed a blind man, born blind, in John chapter 9. And he's been born blind. And then this of mine, and he's given his sight. And then this young man, this man believes, yes, I believe that he is the Son of God. And he came to Jesus, and he fell down at his feet to worship him because he realized he was God. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes and all, they were so angry with him. They said, if you say that Jesus is God, we're going to excommunicate you from the temple, and you can't come here to worship. And now to some people, they could care less. We can say, well, we're going to lock the door, church doors on you, and you can't come in. He says, big deal. I wasn't going to come in anyway. See, church doesn't mean a thing to you. But to those Jewish people, that temple, that's where they went to worship their God. And that was like cutting God off from them. And you can see the despair of this young man. And so then Jesus comes to him and he talks to him and he tells this young man, I am the good shepherd. Or you could be saying, I am the shepherd, the good. So first of all, then let's see the about this Jesus, that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd in so many ways. When you look at the life of Jesus and you study it and you read it in the Bible, you find out, first of all, that he's a good shepherd because he provides for our every need. The Bible tells us no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And again, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. That is where we sin, grace abounded. And all of our sins, when we come to Jesus and ask him to come into our heart and take away our sins, his precious blood washes away the sins of the world, and the sins are washed away, and you'll never see them again. That's what God says in the book of Hebrews. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And if God doesn't remember them, I sure not going to remember mine. I'm glad to see them go, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Not only then this wonderful Lord, he talks about how he provides for us. He provides for us spiritually. And he does that as in our salvation. He gives us eternal life. And then he provides for us in that he keeps us safe in his hands so that we will never perish and nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hands. But he takes care of us also in the physical realm too. Young person, just trust the Savior. Work as diligently as you can, but just lean on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Mother and dad, as hard as you have to work, just trust on Jesus. And you little children, yes, you have the bully at school and you have some problems and you just help pray to Jesus and have him to help you to get through the hard things. And you listen, now you're not going to believe this. I'm going to tell you, I was in the first grade in 1928. 1928. And you know what? There was a bully there. And I can still remember his name. His name is Fred. And I was scared to death of him. But Jesus helped me, always helped me through. So these bullies been around a long time. They'll be around as long as there's a devil. So just count on it. But Jesus will help you in every situation of life. And so then this wonderful Lord, he helps us even as long as we live. And when we come to the end of life, he will take care of us and provide. Then look at it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And then God says, I'm going to take care of you. And you just lean on me and trust in him. And then he's our great protector. He will keep us from harm. There are many hard trials and hardships, but nothing escapes his eye. And he doesn't really take us out of them. Sometimes he goes through them. Look at the persecuted church, how they are suffering for Jesus, even unto death. And yet Jesus is with them through the trial. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy if you walk with Jesus. Jesus didn't have it so good either. He said, the birds have air, have nests, and the foxes have air, dens, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to place his head. He was a homeless, see? And so there are going to be troubles and trials, but he'll see us through them. He'll never forsake us, and he'll always protect us, and he'll always help us. Sometimes we have friends that forget us, but Jesus never forgets us. He always knows where we are. He knows what we're against. And sometimes when we have we're sick and we're sorrowful, and Jesus knows all about it because he was in the flesh like we are, except without sin. And he knows all about it. And you can just see on your bed of sickness, you say, oh, Jesus, nobody knows how I feel. And probably nobody does, but Jesus. Jesus knows and Jesus cares. Does Jesus care when I have these sorrows? Yes, he cares. He's with me and he helped me through them. He may not help me out of them. I may have to go on through them and go through the battle, but he'll help me and he'll never leave me or forsake me. I've been in my study on times when people come in and they have so many stories about promises have been broken and love affairs have broken up. They thought sure they were going to get married or something like that. And their heart aches. But Jesus knows all about it and he helps us and will never leave us or forsake us. And then Jesus, who keeps and about knows his sheep and he knows about them perfectly, that he knows every heartbeat that we have. Here I am, 98 years old. That heart hasn't beat in a single time, but Jesus knew all about it. And any time that heart, he wants that to stop, he'll stop. He knows all about us. He knows every care that we have. He knows every need that we have. And he is able to provide for everything we need, everything we really need. Jesus knows about the dangers of the body, of the things about us, and how we live. And sometimes I think we come close to death and we don't realize it. But Jesus is there to help us and watch over us. Then Jesus has great strength. And we're told in the scriptures, he's able. Jesus has a shepherd's strength. His hand is not shortened, nor his strength abated. And so he has all power. He's able to deliver. He's able to keep sure. Secure. He's able to help us through all of life. Jesus is faithful too. He has a shepherd's faithfulness. And he's never told us, never lied to us. He's never deceived us. He's never held out empty promises. He never led me astray. He never let me alone when I had a heartache or a broken heart. And if I'm unfaithful to him, he's always been faithful to me. And I wish I could say I've never been unfaithful, but I've failed the Lord. And I guess we all do because we're in the flesh. None of us are perfect. And God knows that. And so when we accept Jesus as our Savior, he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he holds us in his hand. But then we aren't perfect. And so when we sin, we have a jealous thought. We have envious thought. We say a harsh word. We don't do a good deed that we should do. It could be 1,000,000,000 different things. And then we feel bad about it. And we just ask Jesus to forgive us. We don't ask him to save us because we're saved. We're his child. Just like if you have a child, that is he or she is your child. I don't care what that child does or where she goes or what happens. That is your child. And when we have the Lord, we have that wonderful Savior as our child, of our Savior to watch over us and help us. And then we go on and we look out that he has a shepherd's heart and he has love for us. He never tires of us. He never tires of me. And I go to him and I tell him all of my troubles and I complain and I cry around about things. He never gets tired of me. And he helps me and he encourages me. His eye is always upon him. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And his eye goes from all over the world. And he sees all of his people wherever they are. And he never takes his eye off of me. He never slumbers or sleeps. He never loses interest in me. He never tires of me. He never turns me away. I've never gone to him, but what he was there to listen and to help me. Oh, he beautiful. Jesus is so beautiful. He is so wonderful. I can't imagine it. He has a shepherd's voice, and he talks to us, and he speaks to us, and so that he helps us along the way. And he tells us about this wonderful Lord. And now I'm not talking about visions and voices and all of that. I've never had a vision and never had a voice, an audible voice. But that just in your heart, you just know everything is all right. And if you don't feel right about something, don't you do it. Then you do something else. Take the other route or do whatever it is. If you don't have peace, God doesn't give you peace about it, just back off. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's telling you there's a red light. There's a red light here. There's a red flag here. Watch out and keep on. Don't get into these things. So this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, whenever I go to him, he's always there. And you know, sometimes we don't go to him because we're too busy. It's as if we say, well, I'm trying to talk to God and I can't get to him and talk to him. Well, don't you blame God for a minute, because I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's our fault if you don't get to God and talk to God. It's your own fault, our own fault. We're too busy. We're too selfish. We're too sinful. We're too stubborn. We don't listen to the voice of the Lord. But this is what God tells us. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10. The sheep hear my voice. When we accept Jesus, we're a part of his fold, just like that blind man was healed. He used to be in the fold with the old Pharisees. But they were false shepherds, and now he came over to the good shepherd, and he's now in the shepherd's fold, in Jesus' fold. And he says, the sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth them by name. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows your name. There are millions and billions of people, and yet he knows the names of everyone that trusts in him. You know something? We're told that the stars, we don't know how many stars there are. We don't know how many galaxies there are. And there are millions of stars in the galaxy, and we don't know how many galaxies there are. How many stars are there? How many sand is there by the seashores? And you know what the scriptures tell us? That God knows the names. He's named every star. You said, I can't believe that. Well, you better believe it. You know, I can't understand that. Of course not. You're not God. I'm not God. We're finite. He's infinite. We'll understand it all by and by. That's the shepherd I'm talking about, and he's always there to help us. And you know something else? Jesus tells us that the hairs of our head are numbered. Now, if you say counted, well, then I have 1,000 and I lost one. But they're a number. When I lose one, you lose one hair from your head, you've lost a number. This wonderful Jesus. So after all, in this whole wide world, who art man that thou art mindful of him? Well, he is God, and he knows all of us. And especially, there's a special love for his people when you trust Jesus and take Jesus. And Paul, he just can't imagine it. And St. Paul writes it like this in Romans 11, when he talks about this great God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For he who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I'm going to cry to hear such a beautiful picture. That's my Jesus. That's my God. And he wants to be your God. And he wants you to come to him, but you have to come to him. And then when you do, I just have to say this. He is so tender, and he's so loving, and he's so kind. And so Isaiah talks about it. And he says, Isaiah writes in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. I was raised with sheep. I'm a sheep herder. I'm a shepherd. And I know the times when we carried the little lambs because they were too weak on those wobbly little legs and they couldn't make it. We would carry them back to the fold, back to the barn. And so this, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs up in his arms and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with the young. So he carries the little lambs. And so, I so rejoiced in that. But now I'm not a little lamb anymore. I'm an old goat. Well, I'm an old sheep, I mean, excuse me. I've got rid of that goat stuff a long time ago. So I'm a part of his flock. So listen what Isaiah says in Isaiah 46, verse 4. And this is for all the old gray heads that are worshiping with us today. This is what it says. God says, I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age, I have made you. I will carry you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. The shepherd is like that. He's so tender. He's so loving. He's so kind. I give this wonderful Jesus, I give him my heart and my soul. And so that you say, yes, Jesus is a wonderful shepherd. I wanted to be my shepherd, and I don't know how to do that. What do I do? I don't know how to pray, and do I use the right words? And I'm just not too sure. Well, let me tell you this. You just talk to Jesus, and he'll understand everything you say. I talked to a man some time ago, and he prayed to accept Jesus. And I think it's the first time he ever prayed. And he prayed just like I helped him. Oh, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into heart and take away my sins, and I'll walk with you. And thank you, Jesus. And when he got done, he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. That's fine. He's talking to God. God's looking at the heart, not the words. And so God stands at our heart's door and he knocks and he wants to come in. And right now I know that all over the world there are people and they're having that feeling. They don't see a voice. They don't see a face. They don't hear a light, see a light. But there's just something saying, I want Jesus. I want the good shepherd. I'm lost. And I need him to put his arms around me and carry me through. And I've done a lot of terrible things, and I don't know what to do about them. And I know I deserve hell. I know I do. I can't argue with that. And this is what you do. You say, dear Jesus, just say with me now, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and wash them away. And I'll follow you as best I can. Thank you, Jesus. See, Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means turning. And it means when you get out of the pigsty, you don't go back and accept Jesus, then go back in the pigsty. You live a different life. You're a sheep now. You're not a pig. You're a sheep. See? And you never see a sheep in a pigsty. Ever, ever, ever. They would die rather than go in a pigsty. And so you have that nature. You have the Holy Spirit now within you when you accept Jesus. And so then you just walk with Jesus. You just trust him and love him, and he'll lead you all the way to heaven. Now, if you've made that prayer and you'd like to write to us, I'm going to give you the address now, so get your pencil and paper. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I'm giving a little bit slow because we have shortwave people. Do you know that we're on shortwave and it covers 95% of the world's population, shortwave alone? And so we always are mindful of them in a persecuted church. We're ministering to them, a persecuted church. Some of them are worshiping with us right now. We rejoice in that. So you write to us and we'll send you some literature and help you get started in the Christian life. And then if you'd like to have help us with a gift, because we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or denomination, it's just God's people. So we preach the wonderful word of God, and then we expect God's people to respond. And so you need to pray to Jesus and ask God, should I help this Christian worship hour? Are you satisfied with it? Are you using it? And then if he says no, then give it somewhere else. If he says yes, then say, what should I give? And give what he lays on your heart. And you can send it over the internet if you can believe it. ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send a gift, but we have to have your help. And I know what the husband is saying. Well, can we trust them? Will they use it for what they're supposed to? We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. And if they want to, they can walk in any day of the year and look at our books at any time. We're all clear as a hound's tooth. Your old timers remember that. Young people, it means that we're on the level. So now we're going to pray. And in our prayers, we always pray for the persecuted church. And now today, we're going to be praying for the churches in Sudan. So dear Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes of people that have opened their heart to you. They're having their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're become a child of God. They're part of his body. They're part of the bride of Christ. We're going to see them in heaven. And oh, dear Lord, I pray for those in beds of sickness. Pray for the young people that are having their struggles with all of the temptations of life, and the children. Help them to come to you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now you write to us, have to have your help. Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And before we go, I have to tell you this. God loves you. God so loved the world, I can't say it enough. God so loved the world, that's all of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't write it any plainer than that. Ask Jesus and he'll save you. He loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour now have been going for over 40 years. And we have just in mind, we want to honor God, want to preach the word, and we want to bring people to Jesus. And we do it because we love you. And I want to tell you something too. I've been preaching now for 75 years. And I've been in the ministry. If I had 100 lives, I'd give everyone to the ministry because I want to see people come to Jesus. I love you, and I want to shake your hand. And I want to gather around the throne of God and sing the praises of God. And so you take Jesus, and then you pray and write to us if you can. And then one of these bright sunny days, the trumpet will sound. We'll all gather together. We'll all be together forever.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.